Except this one is question Orlando. Question O. Question the big O. See, again, I need something that rings, something that sings. Bomb for from?
I like it.
I like that one.
I like it.
Flounder for from?
I like bomb for from.
Flail for from?
Bomb for from's my lead in it.
I like bomb for from.
Yeah.
That's it. So it shall be. I feel like the Bud Light King. Write it down. From this point forward, this bomb for from.
This is what it's going to be for the next 2 years. Bomb for from.
Bomb for from. That's my guy. All right? Bomb for from. Jake from Georgia. All right, here's a question. You knew Sooner Nation would not take this lion down. Boomer Sooner was not going to take this lion down. So here comes the question here on the Ramoslaw.com text line from Tyler, who wants to know, Big O, what's your problem with Kyler Murray? Can't you see this guy's going to be a sure thing in the NFL? I don't understand why people are calling him a wild card. What's your deal with Kyler? Oh, now you guys are on a first name basis. Man, Boomer Sooner.
My deal is that nothing is a sure thing in the NFL. My deal is also that Kyler Murray is a smaller statured guy.
He's not tall.
The NFL stands for not for long. I do not know how he's going to be able to get up from these hits that he's going to sustain at this level. Now, if Kyler Murray is 6'1", 220 pounds, I'm all for it because we've seen other quarterbacks be successful in this league at that size. I have not seen a quarterback with his style of play, as far as a quarterback that loves to scramble, that wants to create some things with his legs, be a quarterback that can do it and sustain that for years in this league. I look at Russell Wilson. Well, he was drafted in 2012. Did some great things out of the backfield with his legs and being able to scramble and extend plays, but also get down the field and go pick up those first downs. But then I saw Russell Wilson a couple years later. He wasn't inclined to do that anymore. He didn't want to run down the field. He got hit a couple times, and it's all of a sudden, oh, well, hold on, wait a minute. I can't continue to do this. And Russell Wilson is a bigger quarterback than Kyler Murray. So I just don't like Kyler Murray for the fact of I've seen this playbook, this blueprint, work a little bit for another quarterback that was bigger than this guy and wasn't able to sustain that. And now you see he has no intentions on running the ball at all in Russell Wilson, where everybody gets excited about Kyler Murray and his ability to extend plays, but also to get down the field, pick up first downs, or even score with his legs, that at some point, being that he's a lot smaller than Russell Wilson, he's going to stop doing that once he gets one good hit on him and he starts feeling it in his bones. So that's why I'm not jumping on this Kyler Murray train.
Here's the thing you got to realize about Russell Wilson, and there are going to be so many comparisons made to Russell Wilson. Wilson's a solid 5'11", 215.
Yeah. NFL height, 5'11".
Murray is barely 5'10", and he's, to be generous, a buck 90.
Yeah.
Honestly, you draft him, he's probably playing midway through his rookie season, he's probably playing at about 180, right?
Yeah, you lose a ton of weight. I mean, each and every year, I would come into training camp back in the day, Mike, and I would show up and I would make sure that I had a good 10 pounds to lose during training camp. So I'd show up at about 320 because I knew by the time training camp was done, I was going to lose 10. And that's with eating four times a day and having a snack at nighttime, that I was still going to lose 10 pounds. And then I would start the season off at 310. And there are some seasons that when I, later on in my career, I'm getting on the scale in San Diego, 299 on a Friday, going into the game stressed out because I think that psychologically, I just believe that, hey, I got to be bigger than this. So all of a sudden now I end up at a Hooters on a Friday afternoon and I'm eating 30 wings. Just trying to get my calories.
I did that last week in Atlanta.
No, you didn't.
Pucked off.
30 wings?
Yep.
I saw it.
Were they breaded? It's a difference. If they're not breaded, it doesn't count.
Oh, wait a minute. But, all right, were yours boneless or bone-in?
Mine's were bone-in.
All right.
But they're breaded.
You're like me. You like to work the bone.
Yeah.
I like working the bone.
I like getting my fingers in there and you know, I like to have my index fingers and my middle fingers and my thumbs just all greasy and sauce all over them.
Preach, brother, preach.
Okay, so apparently what I'm getting out of this conversation, I don't know what you guys were talking about with sports. I'm just locked in on this bone conversation. I think that you guys need to have an eat-off.
I'm up for it.
I can do that.
I am up for it.
Okay.
Duff, you were there. Okay.
I saw him. It was disgusting.
And I could have gone more, right?
You could have.
Easily.
And we went to Hooters twice.
I had to show restraint.
Well, you name the place and time, Mike, and I'll be there.
All right.
I'm ready to go.
Let's do this. Listeners, tweet at Mike. Where should he go to crush the wings? Tell us.
You and me?
Let's do it.
All right. Now, this isn't going to be, you know, Kobayashi, Joey Chestnut style, where it's like a time limit.
No.
This is just hunker down.
And who eats the most wings?
Last man standing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Sounds like a
marathon.
Yeah.
All right.
It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. Oh. Absolutely.
Oh, you're going down.
No way.
You're going down. Duff, who would you bet on right now?
Based on what I've seen from you, Mike.
Don't you do it.
What? I've seen him eat. I've seen some disgusting things Mike Evans has done. Right now, my money's on Mike. That being said, you're much larger than Mike, so you would think that you'd be able to pack some in. I don't know.
Wow. I can't believe it.
In this case,
I cannot believe it.
In this matchup, I would be the Kobayashi of chicken wings.
Why do you keep saying Kobayashi? He's old news. It's Joey Chestnut.
I know, but Kobayashi. No, I know, but Chestnut's a big dude.
No, he's not.
Yeah, in the world of competitive eating, he's pretty good size.
Have you
Kobayashi's
Google
a little
him. Google
Kobayashi's
him.
A little runt.
There's no way.
Look at Orlando
in
versus
this
me.
World,
I actually believe it or not, actually
Mike
look like
Evans
a runt.
At what? How much do you weigh?
A lady never tells.
There's no way. There is no way.
That's the
watching that figure.
That's
there's
the
no way.
The day right there.
I really want
210. 210.
Yeah. I'm 100 pounds more than you.
You're not 310 right now, are you?
Yeah, man. I had a rough. Listen, man. Before Thanksgiving, I was doing my hiking with Big O. I was feeling great about myself. I got down to 293. Since Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving with having the pops and eating, Christmas having the pops and eating, New Year's going out having a couple pops. Then after New Year's, I went to Germany. I got back from Germany last week. I jumped on the scale.
Yeah. Bad move.
322.
Whoa.
I couldn't believe it. I had to weigh myself Thanksgiving. I said, oh man, I got to get on a diet immediately.
Well, I am clearly in the zone right now. As last week, it was 30 and it was 30 easy. Schlereth tapped out before I did.
Here's the thing.
And I easily could have kept going.
He would have kept going if not for the possible shame that he would have had going back to the hotel. I'm not kidding. Like he looked at us like, you guys getting any more?
I was disappointed. Huh?
Yeah, like Steve and I are like, no, we're good. And then Mike's like, yeah, total disappointment. you're right.
Yeah, right. I probably should stop too.
Probably should stop. I don't want to, but I probably should.
So hold on. It was bone in. And breaded, you're saying?
No, they were not breaded.
Oh man, I could go 45. I could go 45.
Mark my words.
Right now.
That was a lot.
Oh no, no. I think he can go 45. I have no doubt, but I.
No problem.
I was feeling good. I was feeling the wing eater's high at that moment.
Did you get your second win?
You know, they talk about the runner's high. I had like the wing eating high going on at that point. And I backed away, not because I wanted to, but because my partners were lame.
You guys were at sea level, you know?
That's true.
We're going to be in the altitude
good
when
point,
we do this.
Good point. Conditioning could play a factor. But I'm telling you,
I can't wait.
I'm telling you, I had another 20 in me, easy.
Wow.
You know?
That's impressive, man.
Like Calvalve?
That is impressive.
Let's push it. Let's see what we got. All right. Where were we? How did this happen? How did we go? See, this is the first time this happened all week. Stink does this to me every single day. But
it's 8:10 in the morning. We've been up since 5.
Yeah.
We're hungry.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. I could go for
that's
some,
why we went.
I could go for some Hooters wings right now. All right, so we're talking about Russell Wilson. I don't know how we got onto this, but we're talking about Russell Wilson. Here's the thing about Kyler Murray. Oh, I think we're talking about his weight. That's what it was. The thing about, if you draft a Kyler Murray, and I heard Stokely and Zach talking about this yesterday, and oh, you know, you're talking about excitement, you're talking about instant energy, it's gonna be Tebow-esque with the kind of energy and excitement that a Kyler Murray would provide. And he would! He absolutely would! He would take off on one of those runs of his, and it would electrify the crowd at Dove Valley. During a preseason game, during a regular season game, there's no doubt in my mind he would do things with his legs that would just have everybody going, this is fantastic. But it's not sustainable. And I look at a guy like Russell Wilson, who is one of the few quarterbacks that has been able to buck the trend of being 6 feet or under, and get that, 6 feet under, and be able to win a Super Bowl. But here's the thing about Russell Wilson. Here's why Russell Wilson is a $20 million plus guy. It's because he discovered how to really truly dominate from the pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a guy who has always had a high touchdown pass number. And as his career's gone on, he's just taken it to the next level. He came into the NFL as a rookie through 26 touchdown passes.
Yeah.
Through 26, then 20, but then he jumped in 2015. He went up to 34. Since then, seasons of 21, 34, and 35. I mean, the guy's thrown 70 touchdowns the last 2 years. This is a guy who has clearly mastered passing from the pocket to the point where he runs less and less.
Yeah.
And when he does run, it's simply to buy time to throw the football.
Yeah.
Donovan McNabb was the same kind of quarterback. He came into the league a scrambling quarterback, and after
Cam Newton,
and Cam Newton just, but Cam Newton's a, but Cam Newton's 6'5".
Yeah,
he's a linebacker.
He's a brick house.
He's
and he doesn't do it nowhere near as much as he used to.
And he's banged up. he's taking the toll. So you're talking about a guy like Kyler Murray. Yeah, if the Broncos draft Kyler Murray, I'll sit back like everybody else and I'll enjoy that initial show, which will be great. It'll be fun. It'll be electrifying. Yeah. It'll be entertaining as all heck. But the whole time I'll just be watching. What about when you're in the pocket?
Oh, yeah.
Are you commanding from the pocket? Are you winning from the pocket? Are you making all those throws that you have to make to be able to command games from the pocket? Lamar Jackson was exciting. Lamar Jackson, when he burst on the scene and what he was doing early on was exciting to watch as well. And then the Chargers got the second go around at him.
Yeah.
And it was rough.
And now
it was tough to watch.
And now every team in this league, because it's a copycat league, will copy what the Chargers did. So now Lamar Jackson is going to have to get better of his pocket presence and being able to win and throw the ball down the field from in the pocket and not scramble and try to make things happen with his legs. And literally, that's after 1 year. Do we even know if he's going to be able to do that yet? We don't know. So it was great his rookie year in the games that he started, and he didn't even start the whole season. But it was awesome when he was out there. But moving forward, we got to see, can he become this traditional NFL style quarterback that could throw the ball from the pocket? With the 10th overall pick, with the holes that the Broncos has, you can't afford to say, hey, we're going to draft Kyler Murray, and then when teams figure him out, hopefully he can become this traditional quarterback that can win from in the pocket. You can't say that with this guy right here. But also, I just can't take a chance on a guy like this because of his body frame. I just don't know how many times he's going to be able to get up after a sack, after a big hit. And when you're talking about how valuable that 10th overall pick is, with as many holes as you have on this team, I cannot take a chance on Kyler Murray, because that is taking a chance.
And they will get hit. There is not a quarterback alive that can escape, if they want to be a running quarterback, can escape the big hits. They can't. And I think there's this misconception among the really athletic mobile quarterbacks that they're tough to hit. No, they're not. Yeah. Russell Wilson, who is as smart a mobile quarterback as you'll find.
Yeah.
Here are his sack totals the last few years. He got sacked 51 times last year.
Yeah.
For a Seattle team that, by the way, was really committed to running the football. He still got sacked 51 times. Previous sack numbers, 43, 41, 45, 42, 44. The only time he has been sacked less than 41 times in a season was his rookie year.
And what was he doing a lot more that year?
Running
the ball. And then he started to get banged up. And guess what he decided to do? Well, you know what? I'm going to stay in the pocket and try to throw the ball down the field. And he still continues. He's getting sacked over 40 times.
You know who gets sacked a lot less than Russell Wilson?
Tom Brady.
Phillip Rivers.
No.
Lamar Jackson this past season. I'm looking for his numbers on just being sacked. In 16 games, he was sacked 16 times.
Oh.
But he ran a ton.
Wasn't he like the leading rusher on the team week?
Yeah. But it's not sustainable.
No. If Kyler Murray could do all the things that
by the way, in the playoff game against the Chargers.
Yeah.
Okay, so he had the benefit first time around. You know, teams are seeing him for the first time. They don't quite know how to react. Mark Schlereth himself did a Ravens game and said, "Man, I am seeing them do things with their running game based off Lamar Jackson I haven't seen in the NFL." Chargers got their second crack at him. What'd they do? Sacked him 7 times.
Yeah. Put five defensive backs? Or no, it was 7.
7 times. And this, by the way, is Lamar Jackson, who's 6'2", 210 pounds.
Yeah.
He's a solid 4 inches and 30 pounds heavier than Kyler Murray. You draft Kyler Murray, you're gaining excitement. You're getting initial excitement. There's no doubt about it. You'll get buzz. People will be talking about you. ESPN will be here. The crowds at Dove Valley will be overflowing.
Yeah.
But is it sustainable?
You have no idea. And you don't know how he's going to adjust to it as well. And given that fact and who's in this division, you cannot take a chance at 10 and draft Kyler Murray.
Where would you take him?
I don't think he fits into what the Broncos scheme.
Forget about scheme.
I think he's a second round pick.
You think he's a second round pick?
Yeah. I think he's a second round pick.
Why even that high? I mean, again, if you're drafting a quarterback in the second round, it's with the idea that you think at some point he's going to be a starting quarterback in the league. No matter whether you're picking him in the first or second round, still think he's going to be a starter. He's going to face all these challenges we just laid out.
Because if I draft him with a second round pick, I have at least 2 years to develop this guy into a pocket passer.
I see what you're saying. Okay.
And that's what you need to do. You need to throw the book at him in practice, and you got to make sure that, hey, come game time, he's not going to get those jitters and try to escape the pocket and continue to run down the field. No, I draft him with a second round pick to sit him down behind my starting quarterback and develop him into a true NFL style quarterback.
I was a little surprised listening to Stokely yesterday. I mean, I consider my man Stoke somebody who's, I mean, he played the game. He was in the league for a long time. He played with Peyton freaking Manning.
Yeah.
He's his best friend.
My best friend, Peyton Manning.
I mean, the guy knows what works and doesn't work in this league, and I'm a little surprised that he's making his pitch for Kyler Murray based on how exciting it will be.
Yeah.
And, well, okay, this is Stokely yesterday, and I don't know, this is Stokely and Zach talking about it yesterday. It's kind of like, I'm listening, where's the substance? Where's the meat here? There's just like a whole lot of, you know, rainbows and Skittles and kittens and, you know, excitement. Here it is.
What's a bigger risk for John Elway if Kyler Murray is staring you in the face at 10th overall? Is it to draft him and roll the dice on one of the biggest wild cards we've ever seen at that position? Or is it a bigger risk to not take that leap and potentially have to watch him for the next decade should he flourish and blossom into the quarterback that some folks believe he can be?
You know, you pass on him and he goes, I saw Mel Kiper had him going 13 to the Dolphins. You know, you pass on him, he goes to the Dolphins and he does what Baker Mayfield did this year. And he ends up being just a great quarterback. To me, that is worse.
That's the greater risk.
Yeah, passing on him and he becomes a great player. It's like, you know, the teams that passed on Patrick Mahomes. And you're just sitting there like, oh, you're kicking yourself. And if you don't have a quarterback, you're double kicking yourself. And that's where the Browns were for years. Passing on the right quarterbacks, taking the wrong quarterbacks, trading out the second spot when they could have had Carson Wentz and just mismanaging the situation. And to me, that's worse. I'd rather go all in and say, okay, and be aggressive and take the guy. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But if you pass on greatness, that just haunts you. And they both hurt. But for me, it would hurt a little bit more. It would hurt a little bit more if I'm watching that guy play great ball and I'm stuck not having a quarterback.
Okay.
Well, Paxton Lynch hurts a lot. And that's what we went and did. We took the risk. This guy has all the tools. We could develop this guy into a pocket passer and be the face of our franchise. Paxton Lynch hurt. And it still hurts. So I don't agree with that statement at all.
My man Stoke, I mean, this is a guy who, man, I would love to have him in my war room evaluating quarterbacks. Because he knows, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's seen it. And I mean, you talk about being able to come up with tangible reasons why a quarterback can or cannot work. And all I heard for a minute there in that rant were words and phrases like roll the dice, wild card, gamble, worry about passing on, the risk, kicking yourselves, go all in, be aggressive.
Yeah.
Come on, that's...
We've already been down that road.
My man, Stoke, where's the meat?
I don't think Stokely's remembering how bad people were dragging John through the mud this year. And even after the first day of hey, the 53-man roster is set, where everybody was like, what do you mean Paxton Lynch made the team before they ended up releasing him? So I don't think that he remembers that. I think he has some short-term memory right now.
Is this a little guy thing? You know?
For me,
Stoke was kind of a little guy overachiever.
Oh,
you know?
He's advocating for him because he's smaller.
He's a little guy overachiever.
He's not tall.
Hey, you gotta ask him that.
You know what I mean? I mean, and then my man Zach was like going all about, there are no ceilings. There are no ceilings for Kyler Murray. And I text him. I go, you're right. There are no ceilings because he's too short to reach him.
Wow.
Ooh, snap.
Wow. That's a low blow, Mike.
He sent that in right during their first segment. Did they read it? No.
You texted on the text line?
No, I texted Zach directly.
Oh.
I was a little bit disappointed. Did not
waiting for a response.
That. I was waiting all afternoon. Nothing.
Maybe it's going to be in this segment.
No. You know, they were too busy getting ready to talk to Tim Conley, who was their guest yesterday in the studio. And they did a great, great job yesterday. And I'm going to say something I never thought I'd ever say. How the Broncos could take a page from the Nuggets in terms of doing the right thing. That's next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to efirstbank.com/business for more details.
Can't believe I'm going to say this. Certainly There's been nothing that's happened over the last, well, maybe forever, where you would make this statement, but I think it applies right now. Orlando, when it comes to what the Broncos are trying to do and build, should they take a page from what the Nuggets are doing? Tim Conley, their president slash GM, was in studio yesterday with Stokely and Zach. Guys did a great job with Tim, and really want to thank Tim for coming on into studio and spending the time. But he talked about how this thing has been built and whether or not the Nuggets are actually ahead of their expected timetable.
You know, we thought we had a chance to be really good. The scar tissue of the last 2 years missing the playoffs by one game each of the previous two seasons. Internally, our locker room was pretty confident, but we've never done anything. We've still done nothing. You know, I've been here, this is going on my 6th year, no playoff appearances. So there was a collective chip on our shoulder that our guys took to the summer. And, you know, we didn't mince words with how much the little things matter. And it really spoke to, missed the game by plays by one season speaks to that. So it was an easy message to preach. So I thought we were going to be good. I didn't, with all the injuries, I didn't think we'd be where we are right now. I think it's a testament to our depth, and our coaching staff's done a fantastic job.
That's too, before I get your answer, hold on. Text of the day, text of the year, text perhaps of the 21st century.
Oh man, you're really good at building up that suspense. What's going on over there?
Huh. Speaking of the Nuggets, this one came in. Speaking of the Nuggets, isn't Jokic a great example of the khaki pants approach? I have never thought of that. Second round pick, 41st overall. You saw something.
Yeah.
You realized it could be developed. You didn't get caught up in, oh, well, you know, if I'm going to get a big man, I have to get him in the first round in the top five.
Look at you, man. No, right now, your face is just lit up so much.
I can find this guy from Serbia. You know, maybe he doesn't knock everybody away with the measurables, but there's just something about it. He plays the game the right way. He's got a high basketball IQ. And now he's a star. Borderline, perhaps. We'll see what he does in the playoffs. Perhaps a superstar. Thank you.
Hold on.
What a great text. Nikola Jokic is khaki pants. He is through and through khaki pants.
You just contradicted yourself a little bit because yesterday.
I never do that.
You said that there's only five superstars in the NBA. So
right?
Jokic is one of your five?
No. Whoa. What did I just say? Listen, big man. Listen to me. I said, right now, a star. We'll see what he does in the playoffs. That's how you become a superstar.
Oh, so after this year, we're going to know.
You can only be called a superstar until you prove it in the playoffs. Is that fair? I mean, there's a lot of things you could be called based on what you do in the regular season. Very good, all-star, star. But if I'm going to hand out something like superstar, I think it's a watered-down term in today's sports world. So I'm very judicious when I hand out terms superstar. But you better be proving it in the playoffs time after time to be called a superstar.
Even if the Joker goes into the playoffs and has a great playoff run, just given the fact that you said yesterday that there's only five superstars in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying he's your sixth.
If they make it to the Western Conference Finals and it is clear that this guy is...
So he's the sixth best player in the NBA. He could possibly be the sixth best player.
Check back with me in June. Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Sure. Why not?
Okay. I'm going to make sure I write this down.
Okay.
And
by the way, we've had that conversation off the air about who the real superstars are.
Not all these
manufactured by ESPN superstars. I'm talking about the real superstars in the NBA.
You know your MO though. You like to make people wait, man. Just like with this whole khaki pants theory, finally revealing the quarterbacks yesterday.
I'll make you wait, but when I deliver.
Oh yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Boom.
I agree.
It's like when we have our wing eating contest. I'll talk and talk and talk and talk, and when it comes time,
You're not winning
that. To put the wings on the table?
You're not winning that.
Well,
you are not winning that.
Let me tell you something. A very prominent basketball presence in this town.
Just get ready to take that out.
A man who is almost as big as you has seen my wing-eating prowess in person. And he would select me.
Well, you got everybody already ranting and raving about you. The Huff, Ben back there saying that. But I don't think they're saying that you could eat more wings. They just said that you eat disgustingly gross. Like, you're just a gross eater.
Oh, I get down and dirty.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. But back to the point about, can you make the argument that what the Nuggets are doing, their approach, is something that the Broncos should copy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if you're able to draft some guys and develop those guys, I mean, there might not be no big name guys, but if you could do that, that's when your team is great. That's when it's phenomenal. That's when you're able to get to those Super Bowl, when you draft well later on in the draft. And that's what the Nuggets have been doing for the last couple years. When I look at that Super Bowl team, I look at guys like, you draft Derek Wolfe in the second round, but you also draft Malik Jackson in the same draft. I think it might have been the sixth or the seventh round. Great value. I look at the year after that, Danny Trevathan. What, fifth round pick? Great value. So if you could find those guys in the later parts of the draft that are going to come in and have immediate impact, but also have great value. I remember when Derek Wolfe was drafted and Malik Jackson was drafted, we had an offensive lineman that was on the team. His first name was Adam. I'm spacing on his last name. Adam Grant, actually, that went to rookie minicamps with Derek Wolfe and Malik Jackson. And he had already been on the team. And we had our offensive line. We had a dinner with the offensive line. This is during OTAs right after, because we had just got back. And I remember Adam Grant saying, hey, Malik Jackson is a better player than Derek Wolfe. Just after one weekend, the first weekend that they were able to be here, that's what Adam Grant came back and told us. That, hey, this second round pick in Derek Wolfe, I had a harder time going against Malik Jackson during the weekend of rookie minicamp. So the Broncos found some great value later on in the draft. If you're able to continue doing that, which is what the Nuggets are doing, that's how you sustain greatness. That's how you're able to go out there and put a dominant product on the field or the court.
You know, when you look at the NBA draft, I mean, the prevailing opinion is once you start to get into the deeper teens, never mind the 20s, I mean, it is tough, right? Never mind second round. And yet, you look at what they've done. Jokic, second round pick. Monte Morris, second round pick. Beasley, kind of a mid, you know, late teens type pick. Gary Harris, same way. Yeah. In fact, you know, the guys that they took up high, Emmanuel Mudiay was what, sixth overall? You know, he ended up being a bust, you know. Yeah. He's gone, long forgotten. So they, but what they also realized was they're never going to be, at least for the time being, and certainly when they started out on this, they weren't a free agent destination. They're flyover city in the NBA. Yeah. And, you know, the Broncos need to realize that that's kind of what they've become. Peyton Manning's not walking through that door.
Yeah.
Peyton Manning was the unicorn. He landed here. It was a once in a two generation type scenario that you'll see in the NFL. And the Broncos benefited from that.
Yeah.
But they can't think like that. They have to, because when you get a guy like Manning, now you're like, all right, what are the pieces that we're going to put around him to really maximize having this guy? That's when you go out in free agency and you're going for the quick fixes to, you know, really maximize what you have. But once he's gone, you can't be bringing in Malik Watson. You can't be bringing in Donald Stevenson. Yeah. You can't be bringing in these Band-Aid approaches. And you have to sit back and say, let's build this the right way with guys that are going to fit our identity of what we expect a Bronco to be. And I'll give the Nuggets credit. Now, to Conley, and Conley said it. He goes, look, we haven't done anything yet. Until we do it in the playoffs, we haven't done anything yet.
No.
All these regular season wins are nice, they're shiny, but we haven't done anything yet. But you get a sense that they got a pretty clear grasp of what they want their players and their team to look like.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree with you. whenever you have an organization, you always got to be constantly planning for the future. And that's why New England, as much as we hate them, has been at the top of their game for years upon years. They got a wide receiver right now that started the year off on practice squad, Braxton Berrios. He is a Wes Welker type. Mark my words, he will become a great player in this league.
Oh, he's their next Edelman.
He never even got on the field this year at all, even with all the wide receiver issues that they had. So, but they are constantly drafting for the future. They're not waiting and saying, hey, we're just going to go all in right now and try to come up with a solution later on when this one person walks out the door. No, they drafted Braxton Berrios. Hey, you're going to sit on the bench and wait till Edelman's done and wait till a spot opens up for you. We're going to put you on practice squad, hide you as long as possible. But when we have to play you, you will be ready and you will have an immediate impact.
Coming up, why there's no way you can empower Vic Fangio and go after Antonio Brown. That's next. All right, I get it. Fun to talk about, daydream a little bit, and I suppose you can find ways to justify the idea that if Antonio Brown really wants out of Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh is ready to move him, despite having him under contract for 3 more years and the last 2 years of that deal, very team friendly, by the way, we can talk about it. But Orlando, to me, it's an absolute non-starter. Because how in the world can you bring in Vic Fangio, Mr. Death by Inches, Mr. Gets up there in his opening press conference and wows everyone with, wow, this guy is old school. This guy is going to put up with any crap. Finally, an adult in the room. We're going to have some much needed discipline. And the first thing you're going to do for Mr. Death by Inches is bring in this guy, yeah. A guy who took one of the best run, best cultures in all of professional sports and unraveled it from the inside out.
Yeah. I don't see how you could do that, but also it's not like he's willing to change. I mean, he got himself out of there and he's a me guy. He makes that tweet by Steeler Nation. He hasn't been released yet. You haven't been released. You haven't been traded. I mean, 99.9% of guys are going to make that tweet or are going to put that out there after the deal goes down and you're gone. This has not even happened and you're saying your goodbyes already. It makes absolutely no sense to now turn around and bring this guy here. We have a great young nucleus and Courtland Sutton and Royce Freeman, Philip Lindsay, Josie Jewell's going to be better. Isaiah Yanam's going to get better. Antonio Brown is a guy that's going in his 10th year. You don't want your players gravitating to a guy like that because when you get in the league, Mike, any player will tell you this. There's always a player that you gravitate towards. And say, hey, you know what? I want to take something from this guy's game or I want to be like this guy. So I need to literally follow this guy's regime and how he goes about his day-to-day business as being a professional. I don't want Courtland Sutton to say or Deshaun Hamilton who are got two guys that are going into their second year that would be spending the majority of their time with Antonio Brown, if you bring him in here, for any of Antonio Brown's antics to rub off on those type of guys. We saw it last year. Courtland Sutton was an unselfish player. Yeah, obviously you want more. You're a second round pick. You think that any chance that you get out there that you could dominate. If Antonio Brown is on this roster last year with Courtland Sutton and Demaryius Thomas, Courtland Sutton now sees Antonio Brown acting up towards the coaches, get me the ball, and telling Case Keenum to get me the ball. Now it's a huge falling out with Courtland Sutton and a guy like Demaryius Thomas. It's a locker room cancer. And when you're trying to go in the right direction, and you know that you got to continue to draft, you have 9 draft picks coming in this year, and you just had 10 guys the past year, you cannot afford to bring in a guy like Antonio Brown that's going to do his own thing. We've seen that already. the cornerback that we brought in this year off the streets, gets kicked out of, it has to play after we bring him out off the streets, but then gets kicked out of a game where we desperately need him because he throws a punch. Those are me guys. You continue to bring in me guys, you're going to continue to have crappy records. When you want to, build up a team and build it up the right way, it starts with drafting the right guys, but also bringing in the right type of free agents that believe in your system that is not going to contradict what you as coaches are going to do. And what Vic Fangio and staff was trying to bring here to the Denver Broncos, the whole death by inches, the whole I don't want a Band-Aid fix. Antonio Brown contradicts all of that because he's a guy that will be a Band-Aid fix, but also when you talk about death by inches, as far as missing meetings or showing up late, we saw that this past year, the last game of the season, everything is on the line for the Steelers to get in the playoffs, but you're not going to show up and be there for your teammates. That makes absolutely no sense. You cannot take a chance on a guy like Antonio Brown with this roster and what you're trying to do here in Denver.
Yep. You effectively cut Vic Fangio right off of the knees if you make this deal.
Yep.
That's what you do. So I'm going to trust that Vic Fangio, unlike the previous head coach, has been empowered. His feelings matter, and that they would not do something like that. Do you think the Steelers trade Antonio Brown?
Absolutely.
You do?
Absolutely.
Why? They don't have to. I mean, if ever there's a franchise that's proven that they're okay with playing the stare down who blinks first waiting game, it's the Steelers.
I'm trading them because it was week 16. We needed to win to get it in the playoffs. You got into a confrontation with our starting quarterback, and you decided to leave the building on a Wednesday, and you did not come back until Sunday. That's why I'm trading Antonio Brown if I'm the Steelers. I've had enough. When you sign up in this league, you sign up for 16 games. When Antonio Brown signed a blockbuster deal and a huge contract to get paid, you signed up for 16 games. Your team is counting on you. Even if you're hurt, your team is counting on you because there's a difference between hurt and injured. If you're hurt, you can still go. So your team is counting on you. And for you to not show up, I get it. You walked out the building, you were heated on Wednesday, I get it, I understand it. But then you show up on Thursday, and you go back to work. There's too much on the line. You're the number one wide receiver on that team. We're trying to get to the playoffs. That's what every team starts off the season, all 32 teams start off the season with the hopes of one common goal, and that's to win the Super Bowl. Well, to win the Super Bowl, it starts with making the playoffs. You had an opportunity. It was on the line in week 16, and you decided to not show up for the rest of the week.
What did we learn from today's show? What are the three words that summarize today's show? Bomb for From. Okay?
I like winging the contest.
Well, that might be in the work. For everything... You know, for all the grief I get for my khaki pants strategy and, oh, yeah, you have to just take a chance and, you know, pick, you know, one of five quarterbacks. No, I actually am willing to put my name down on one guy. One guy I want. I mean, never let it be said that Mike Evans does not believe in drafting a quarterback high up in the first round. I do. If the guy checks all the boxes and clearly looks like the guy, and Jake Fromm's my guy.
You got to wait for that pitch.
Oh, I know, but got to wait for that pitch. The great Ted Williams, the greatest hitter of all time, his message to any young hitter, what's the secret to hitting? Get a good pitch to hit.
No.
Not interested in swinging at balls in the dirt. I'm not looking at chasing sliders on the block.
No.
I want a good pitch to hit. I'm going to wait for a good pitch to hit. And Jake Fromm is my fastball down the middle. Bomb for Fromm. Now, how do you do that? That's the key. Easier said than done,
so
right?
So that was your three words. My three words is wing Eden contest.
I think it's going to happen.
Should be happening. It might happen as early as next week.
Well, you better get in shape, big fella.
I'm ready to go right now. We can get it started today.
Go and get in shape.
We could do this today.
In the meantime, Pritch and Cecil coming your way next.